Welcome to the Medical Advantage Podcast, where you can hear healthcare professionals, expert consultants, and industry thought leaders discuss the exciting new ideas and technologies that are changing the business of healthcare. Tune in to each episode as we hear from some of the most innovative minds in medicine about the future of healthcare and how your organization can stay profitable, efficient, and on top of industry best practices.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Medical Advantage podcast series. As always, I am your host, Selena Jusso, and I am very excited for today's topic, care management, because as healthcare has continued to evolve, so has the way that we use technology to improve patient outcomes and reduce disparities in access to care. Technology has been carved in as truly an invaluable resource when it comes to care management and remote patient monitoring. Now, Medical Advantage has embarked on a really exciting partnership with Wellbox Care Management to utilize technology as a powerful tool for engaging patients in their health, increasing participation in preventative care measures, and improving overall quality of life, all while decreasing total cost of care. So joining us today is Cole Nalgen, Senior Director of Engagement at Wellbox, who will be helping us walk through what is care management today, how it has evolved, and so much more. So with that, Cole, thank you so much for joining us today. We're really excited to hear your thoughts and insights on this exciting new opportunity in care management. So to kick us off, would you like to take just a moment to introduce yourself and tell us what brings us here today?
Absolutely. Thank you, Selena. And thank you for having me on the Medical Advantage Group podcast today. I'm super excited to have the opportunity to talk about care management and the impact that it can have on the U.S. healthcare system. To give you a quick overview of myself, I, as you had mentioned, run the engagement departments at Wellbox. Wellbox is a virtual care solution provider. We provide care management services as well as remote patient monitoring services, predominantly looking at populations that we consider to be high risk and high cost, and working with our partners to identify their at-risk populations and mitigate those risks, lower their healthcare costs, and work with them one-on-one.
So Cole, to get us started, let's talk a little bit about the U.S. healthcare system and how we approach chronic diseases. Can you give us a brief overview of the situation? How prevalent and costly are chronic diseases in the U.S.?
Absolutely. So unfortunately, even prior to the onset of the COVID pandemic, the U.S. healthcare system has been stressed and overburdened by chronic diseases for decades. So right now, about 40% of the U.S. population is living with and or managing at least one chronic condition. And that's about 133 million people, which seems like a lot, but also not a lot when you think of the entire United States. But when you think about that, that 133 million people actually accounts for over 85% of all annual healthcare costs, it starts to give you an idea of the scope of the challenge that chronic disease presents to our system. So what that equates to is about $3.5 trillion made up predominantly by hospitalizations for people who have chronic conditions. And what, again, the clincher on this is in many of those cases, those emergency room visits and hospitalizations are actually either unnecessary or preventable. So in addition to the cost of chronic illness, there's also the physician burden to consider. People with chronic conditions account for about 80% of all physician visits. And in most of those cases, they require more time, resource, and care than a regular physician visit because of the complicated nature of their conditions. So this puts a lot of stress on physicians and on their offices, most of whom already are overextended or at full capacity in terms of the volume coming into their offices. And when you think about it, all of everything that I'm mentioning here, this is all pre-COVID statistics. So trying to balance the needs of the pandemic in the past year against the increasing needs of the chronically ill population has really pushed a lot of healthcare providers to a breaking point. And we're starting to see a lot more burnout. So even if you take COVID out as a factor, it's really an unsustainable model over time, and more has to be done earlier with this particular population. The good news, not being all gloom and doom, is that chronic conditions are largely manageable, and there is a lot more that we can be doing, and we've already identified a lot of what we should be doing.
That's fantastic, Cole. Thank you. It's a perfect overview there. And, you know, for our audience, obviously, we understand how overwhelming this can be, even just hearing it. And that's why we're here today, to talk a little bit about care management and what that has looked like and what it's evolving into. So, Cole, you know, underneath care management, there are a few different categories here. So can you explain to us exactly what is care management? And within that, can you also explain the different categories like primary care management as well as chronic care management?
Absolutely. So chronic care management was introduced as a service by Medicare in 2015. And they were really trying to address a lot of the issues that I had just gone over, where they're seeing really high costs associated with a particular segment of the population, and thinking, you know, how do we address this? The physicians already have a lot going on. Chronic care management was actually offered before 2015, but the responsibility was put on the physician in office, and they really just had too much other stuff going on to add something else. So in 2015, Medicare made the change that you could, CCM could occur without direct supervision, which opened up the possibility for bringing in companies like Wellbox, who could provide the service for the physician. So the concept of chronic care management at the start is actually pretty simple. If we pair somebody who's living with complex care needs, someone who has multiple chronic conditions, with a dedicated resource, and provide that patient 20, 60 minutes of support every month, and we can stay ahead of their care, we can get preventative instead of being reactive. That's all managed through the development and management of a personalized care plan. So we have a nurse who partners with a patient who's been identified as eligible. They have a non-face-to-face interaction, so predominantly telephonic interaction that occurs on a monthly basis. The minimum is 20 minutes. It can go up to 60 minutes and still be covered. And through those interactions, the nurse and the patient work together on developing a personalized care plan and then working towards the goals in that care plan over time. So the clinical team covers a wide array of topics in that with the patient, starting with setting their own unique goals and objectives, and then working through things like medication reconciliation, risk assessment, recommended preventative care, those types of things. The benefits of a program like that that are well executed are twofold. Engaged participants will participate in more of their recommended preventative care. So that keeps them healthier. It reduces their likelihood for needing more expensive care in the future if they're taking care of their health preventatively. And then secondly, but equally important, discussions with that clinical team can actually result in identifying new health challenges earlier. So where you can do more to prevent them and identify barriers that are being faced. So I'll give you a couple of examples there. We've had specific scenarios where our nurses have learned over the course of typical visits that patients don't have reliable access to get to their in-office appointments. So the office might see this patient as just an unreliable patient because, you know, maybe they don't want to admit that their, you know, daughter who was supposed to drive them didn't show up, or they had, you know, some kind of issue. They don't have reliable transportation. That's causing them to miss their appointments, which is causing them to not get the care that they need. We can help solve that challenge as soon as we identify it. It could also be on a fixed income and choosing between a prescription refill or buying food for their cat that week. You know, that's actually fairly common. So by identifying those barriers to health, we can help the patient to overcome them. We can connect them with community resources that are available to them. We can find them cheaper prescriptions. There's really an endless list of ways to help people, but navigating the healthcare system can be so challenging, and some of those barriers can seem so unsurmountable to the person who's facing them. Care management really provides patients with a person who's dedicated to helping them figure out their path and charting the right course. So this year, to kind of circle back to your question about the difference between chronic and principal care management, this year, when CMS took a look at how chronic care management was going, they actually decided to open up the definition even further. So chronic care management covers people who are living with two or more chronic conditions, and principal care management actually expands that down to people who just have one. And the idea there is, again, from a preventative healthcare standpoint, the earlier you can catch things, and then the more you can prevent.
That's great. Thank you, Cole. And you started to touch on exactly, you know, how does this work and who can enroll in such a program? Can you talk through the process just a little bit of what does this usually look like and who is usually eligible?
Yep. So from a Medicare standpoint, the CCM and PCM codes are Medicare billable codes. So from that standpoint, it is anybody who has Medicare Part B. So we're looking at a population that's predominantly 65 plus. And then they have for PCM, one chronic condition listed in their chart, and for CCM, two or more chronic conditions listed in their chart. And how we handle it from a Wellbox standpoint is when we partner with a new practice, we actually do a population health assessment, and we'll take a look at their patient population and segment it into eligible buckets. So this is, you know, these are the patients within your practice who would benefit from PCM, CCM, and then separately from care management, we do also offer remote patient monitoring, which is a whole third set of codes, and we offer kind of a segmentation of who's eligible in that market as well. So what the practice is getting is a kind of landscape of what their patients look like in terms of what services they're eligible for. And then we work with the practice to identify who they want to enroll in what program and end up with a approved list. And then from, again, this probably differs by CCM provider, but for Wellbox, we then take that list and we have an in-house team of enrollment specialists who perform the patient outreach, inform and educate the eligible participants on what is being offered to them and what the value is, and then obtain verbal consent, which then gets assigned to a nurse for clinical care.
Great. Now, of course, you know, large organizations and regulatory agencies, of course, have to fold into this. So can you tell us a little bit about where CMS guidelines fit into this whole model?
Sure. So CMS guidelines, change every year. So one of the benefits to partnering with a third party is that we have a compliance team that monitors those CMS guidelines and makes changes on an annual basis to our program as need be. From a Wellbox standpoint, we use the CMS guidelines to put guardrails around our services, but we really use that as a baseline. We don't want to provide a service that is kind of the minimum viable product for CMS. We want to provide a service that's going to get financial and clinical outcomes. So what we basically do is use our compliance team to tell us, you know, these are the things we need to do to meet the CMS requirements, and then we build a clinical program on top of those requirements.
All right. So, Cole, let's talk a little bit about the value of CCM programs. Can you tell me a little bit about what are some of the potential savings for these programs?
Yeah, it's actually, if you think about it, kind of a difficult question to answer, because if we all do our job well and we can prevent people from winding up in emergency rooms and hospitals, it's hard to quantify what hasn't happened. So the way we look at it is we compare the Wellbox patient population with the general Medicare population, and we've used third-party analysts kind of consistently to do this. And what we see through every analysis is that the Wellbox population costs the healthcare system about 5.6% less than the general Medicare population. So in 2020, 93% of Medicare spend was in caring for people with chronic conditions, which equals $630 billion. If I extrapolated the Wellbox findings to the entire Medicare population, it's a savings of a little over $35 billion. So that addresses the potential savings to the healthcare system as a whole. But the way we think about it at Wellbox is also, you know, we don't want to neglect the personal impact that chronic illness has on people. So when you think about the amount of money that people spend on prescription costs, emergency room visits, hospitalizations, if we can keep people healthier and have an impact on people's individual savings, I mean, we're literally making the difference between bankruptcy for some people. That financial stress around healthcare costs is a huge challenge for a lot of people, and care management can really help people manage those costs, decrease their financial and health-related stress, and improve their quality of life. And you know, the 630 billion total and the 35 billion that you could potentially save the healthcare system, you can't really put a number on the improvement for quality of life for people.
Yes, Cole, absolutely. You cannot put a value on quality of life. You know, we are here to improve patient outcomes as much as possible and reduce that burden for them. And clearly, Wellbox has, you know, been able to put together a phenomenal solution to be able to do that successfully. So I'm curious to hear from you. What makes Wellbox different? What makes you stand out?
Thank you. And yeah, it's something that we've been really focused on. Outcomes at an individual level and a clinical level both has just been something that has been really important to us from day one. And as one of the first companies to market with a chronic care management solution, we've really had a lot of opportunity to grow alongside the industry and take a look at what's working and what isn't, and pivot and grow appropriately. So for anybody who's been following the industry since 2015, there were quite a few CCM companies who really flamed out in the first few years. Many of them led with technology, and no matter how great the technology was, and in some cases it was amazing, they faced an immediate hurdle of trying to get patients, again, because we're working with Medicare, the majority of whom are over 65, to adopt a new technology, to download an app, to change the way they interface with healthcare. And the adoption was so low that they couldn't support the company and ended up going out of business. There were others that hired clinical staff that had a minimal level of qualification. So they, you know, took CMS requirements and really just provided the bare minimum of what CMS was requesting to help the patients. And they ended up building a program that wasn't particularly engaging or useful for the patients. So as we've kind of grown and monitored the market and paid attention to what's been going on, we've really been able to focus primarily on two things that I think kind of kept us on the straight and narrow from a mission standpoint. And those two things are patient engagement and delivering high quality clinical care. So we've built a program, like I mentioned, that goes well beyond the minimum expectation of CMS. We've built it specifically to ensure the end goal of our program, which is to improve outcomes. And the way we achieve that is through three things. The way our program is designed, the clinical team who provides the program, and then the delivery methodology that the program utilizes. So first and foremost, CMS really does not put a lot of guideline around how you interact with the patient on a month-to-month basis. The definition is basically, you know, 20-minute minimum of non-face-to-face care. So we have built a program that takes that to the next step. A lot of CCM providers will call patients every month and ask them the same 20 questions about their health. That's not particularly engaging for those patients, and they usually see a 3 to 4 month engagement for those on average. So you've got, you know, all the time to educate the patient, they get engaged in the program, but they only stay on for a couple of months because they're not getting any value out of it. So we've built our program through a series of modules, and those modules guide our nurses through specific topics. Every topic is covered over a 2 month period, so we're making sure that the information sticks, and then we move on to the next topic. This keeps the patients more interested, engaged, and offers a deeper level of clinical support than somebody who's calling and asking, you know, have you been hospitalized in the last 30 days? Are your medications the same every single month? So that brings me to the second point. Because we have those deeper conversations and because we cover a wide variety of topics, we have to be very specific in terms of who delivers that care. So we've been very particular in terms of who we hire to deliver that care. We utilize only experienced nurses, most of whom are registered nurses. And many of our competitors are still utilizing health coaches, MAs, and CNAs with that form model. So all of our nurses are vetted. They have experience in case management in an in-office setting or a hospital setting. A lot of them have worked in triage, and they're really accustomed to developing relationships with patients. They're trained in motivational interviewing techniques, and they're skilled enough to recognize potential issues and address those issues or escalate them as needed. So the way we deliver the program was also specifically designed to be easy for the patient, because we did see all of that early technology adoption failure. We really built the program so that the patient finds it simple to engage with our nurse and in a way that is comfortable for them. So we leverage multiple means of communication. We provide telephonic visits as well as physical mailings. And while we do have proprietary software that guides our process, our technology is actually used by our nurses. So there's no technology adoption barrier for patients or providers to overcome. Patients interact with our nurses the same way they would interact with anyone from their doctor's office. So that makes it really easy for them to consistently engage. And it makes it really comfortable for them to build a rapport and relationship with the nurses, which over time allows the nurses to provide kind of even better and in-depth care. So I think it's also really important, because all that was, you know, very patient focused, but it's also really important to note that we've really made it part of our mission to be an easy to adopt solution for our providers as well. So the way we partner, we really act as an extension of their office. We document directly into their EHR using their designated workflows. The nurses are trained in a workflow call specifically on their instance of EHR, so that they can basically be acting as a nurse who is, you know, part of their office staff, just not located in their office. And our goal in doing all of that is to provide more care options to their patients with as little disruption as possible to their day-to-day activities, so that they can stay focused on the patients who are in the office while we focus on the patients who need help outside of the office. In that same vein, we're the only care management provider who really manages the whole process from start to finish. So we have in-house teams that cover patient data analysis, enrollment, clinical services, and we also have our own NPI with Medicare, which allows us to bill Medicare directly for the claims and also follow up with patients for collections. So, I mean, I think the summary of all that is we try really, really hard to keep it as simple as possible for everyone involved, so that there's no reason to put up an additional barrier. Instead, we focus on taking those barriers down.
Absolutely. Cole, you and your team have truly done a phenomenal job of making this so easy for, you know, practices to be able to adopt, and equally as approachable and valuable for the patients as well. And we had spoken to the power of mitigating cost of care through care management and through your solution as well. And I know you got some pretty great statistics to offer there, just some preliminary results. Would you like to speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. We are exceptionally proud of the results that we've been able to achieve in the past 5 years. It's, you know, healthcare is hard. You know, everyone who is in healthcare knows that, you know, some patients don't always do the things that are best for them. And no matter how hard we all try, you know, it's a big system and it's hard to navigate. So tracking our clinical outcomes is just one of those things that occasionally we can take a step back and look at and just be really proud of how far we've come. So it's definitely something that we look at quite a bit. We measure our own success by, and then we work with practices individually to measure individual success as well, trying to kind of achieve, make sure that they're achieving their quality measures and their goals. And we're working together to accomplish the, you know, what they wanted to accomplish by adopting these services to begin with. So there's a couple of different ways that we look at metrics. We look at our Wellbox population as a whole, and then we also do individual analysis with specific practices, specifically those who are concerned with any number of quality measures and want us to track that specifically. So a couple of the things that we focus on are obviously patients under care, the number of chronic disease states we've worked with. We've actually conducted over 400,000 patient interactions since founding, with over 75,000 patients, all with about a little over 50 chronic disease states. So from a breadth perspective, we've been able to get experience nationally with a lot of different diseases. And we use that information to make sure that we're kind of covering everything from a clinical outcome standpoint appropriately. And amongst that population, what we've been able to see from a clinical outcome standpoint is that the Wellbox population of patients get three times as many flu shots as the population within that practice that was eligible but opted not to join Wellbox. So we're seeing a marked improvement in preventative care. They're actually participating in preventative care screenings two times more. So specific screenings, cancer screenings for diabetics, you've got foot screenings, things like that. Every one of our patients receives a recommended preventative care list based on their age, sex, and chronic conditions. And then we track and close those care gaps against what is recommended for them. We also have been able to maintain an 80% plus patient engagement rate on a monthly basis. So of the patients under our care, we speak to, it's about 86% recently in 2021, 86% of those on a monthly basis. And those patients stay engaged with us two times longer than the national average. So Medicare has published information about how long people stay on the program, which is typically 4 to 6 months. Our patients stay with us for 12 to 15 months. And although that kind of goes back to, doing patient satisfaction ratings and surveys, we consistently have a 90% plus patient satisfaction rating with the services within our patient population. And I mention all of that just to say the increased engagement and the increased participation in preventative care then actually leads to our, you know, the metrics that we care about most from a savings standpoint, which is that our patients have required 60% less emergency care and hospitalization than those patients in those populations that chose not to participate with Wellbox. So if you think about that in terms of you know, the impact to human lives, 60% fewer emergency room visits and hospitalizations is a huge impact. And that is directly tied to the statistic I mentioned earlier about the 5.6% less cost in total healthcare. So hospitalizations are both extremely disruptive to a person's life, but also very expensive.
Absolutely. The success that you've achieved in improving outcomes and mitigating that cost of care is truly outstanding, and you should be very, very proud. Your team is just absolutely phenomenal, and Medical Advantage is thrilled to be partnered with you to continue mitigating those gaps and improving results for clinicians and patients alike, all with a cost savings. It's really outstanding. So as we start to wrap up here, Cole, I, of course, want to thank you so, so much again for your insights and always your enthusiasm. Before we wrap up, I do just want to ask if you have any last tips or bits of advice for our listeners today.
Thank you. So I think that one of the things, especially kind of right now, that everybody is focused on is this idea of keeping people engaged. Everyone is very stressed. There's a lot of social stress, financial stress, mental stress all around healthcare right now. And I think one of the things that we just have to keep our eye on kind of continually and remind ourselves of is, you know, going back to our mission and why we provide healthcare to begin with. And, you know, things don't always go the way we want them to go. COVID has certainly proven that. But if we're always here for the patients and we're always focused on engaging those patients and working towards better clinical outcomes, I think at the end of the day, we'll all end up exactly where we need to be.
Absolutely. It's always great to know that there's a trusted source of information and a helping hand for you, especially during times like this. Cole, this has been incredibly informative and obviously very, very relevant to many of the practices that we work with every day. Such a great opportunity to help ease many of the barriers to care while really improving efficiency in overall care management.
Thank you. And thank you so much again for having me on the podcast. I've really enjoyed being able to discuss the topic.
Thank you, Cole. And for any of our listeners seeking more information, I would like to invite our audience to find us on LinkedIn and Facebook, or even our website, medicaladvantage.com, where you'll find additional resources such as blogs, webinars, white papers, and much more. And should you have any questions or wish to speak with us in more detail, you can also reach us directly at info@medicaladvantage.com. Thank you so much again, Cole, for your time today. And to our audience, thank you always for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Medical Advantage Podcast, where we discuss the ideas and technologies changing healthcare and what they mean to your organization. For more information, visit us at medicaladvantage.com. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a show.